Especially the plate hadn't even gotten to Matt Tharp yet, and I know he was going to help. So, amen. Amen. I can't think of a better, and every speaker we've had is wonderful. None better than the man you're going to hear tonight for a lot of reasons I could mention, but one I want to point out to you. He was 15, and Randy Taylor was 18 when they held the first God Save America rally in Mesquite, Texas, in the downtown area there. And Brother Areza was 15 years old. He's 85 now, and not quite. I overshot it a little bit, right? So, but you're talking about decades of faithfulness, and the man is tonight doctrinally and belief and practice what he was way back then when he was 15. God can and will use young people. Wish I could get that down in your head. God can and will use young people. And so I'm thrilled he's here tonight. I love to hear him preach. He's a Bible preacher. So Brother Luco is going to come sing for us. And after that, you give your undivided attention. Get your Bible ready. And don't let nobody leave now. Look, we're all going to make it through, okay? And hang on every word as he preaches in a minute. Thank you, Brother Tony.
Justice approached the bench where I stood condemned and declared me unworthy to be justified. I faced the judge alone, no merit of my own. But then I heard a voice testify, and there on the witness stand was a Savior with nail-scarred hands who said, I'm forgiven by the blood that he shed. All of my shame erased, pardoned by amazing grace. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm no longer condemned. Jesus took my place instead. Sometimes my mind goes back to the sins of my past, and Satan comes to whisper that my soul is not redeemed. But then I recall the day when my guilt was washed away. Forever I'm delivered and free. For there on the witness stand was a Savior with nail-scarred hands who said, I'm forgiven by the blood that he shed. All of my shame erased, pardoned by amazing grace. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm no longer condemned. Jesus took my place instead. The penalty was fully paid on the old rugged cross. The verdict was not guilty, for Jesus Jesus paid the cost, and there on the witness stand was a Savior with nail-scarred hands who said, I'm forgiven by the blood that he shed. All of my shame erased, pardoned by amazing grace. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm no longer condemned. Jesus took my place. Jesus took my place. Jesus took my place instead.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Well, if you enjoyed that, how about a good hearty amen? What a blessing. Thank you so much. Well, I'm so glad to be here tonight and glad to see all of you here. What a blessing it is to see so many familiar faces throughout the crowd, and just really a blessing to my heart. And wow, these young people did such a good job on those teen choirs. My soul, that just really warmed my heart. I love to hear teenagers sing the right kind of music from their heart. And boy, that was just a wonderful blessing. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, look with me to the book of Hebrews. We're going to look at the 11th chapter. And once you've found your place, let's just stand together for just a moment here. Stretch your legs a little bit as we move into this message here. Hebrews chapter number 11. And I want to begin reading with verse number 23. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23. You know, I have so many messages that I preach on this incredible man, Moses. Somebody said the first 40 years of his life, he thought he was a somebody. Then the second 40 years of his life, he found out he was a nobody. And then the last 40 years of his life, he found out what kind of somebody God can make out of a nobody. Amen? Kind of is a good way to sum up his life. But just so many things about his life that are just so challenging. And we want to look at his life tonight and try to bring some application to it. And to get some help, amen? Because all of us, we just need to be encouraged, don't we? We need to be challenged. We need to be helped. Sometimes we just need to be aimed, amen? And this is certainly a good passage for all of those things there. Verse number 23, and by the way, I appreciate his parents, his mom and dad, and Amram and Jochebed. The Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Man, I love this next statement here. And they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Boy, do we need people like that. You know, as a people of God, we don't have anything to be afraid of in this world. Absolutely nothing. I think probably it's the most exciting time in all of human history to be alive right now. I just love it right now. And I tell you, it's a very exciting time. And maybe throughout this today and tomorrow, we'll be able to talk about, you know, really your position, your place in this crucial time. But we're not afraid of the king's commandments. Verse number 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's what I want to preach about tonight. I'm calling it the great refusal. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. Once again, drawing your attention to verse number 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. My message tonight, of course, the great refusal. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, we come to you, Lord, today and tonight in the precious name of Jesus, and we ask now, Lord, that you'll help us tonight. Lord, it's just wonderful to be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all the labor, the work, the dedication that's gone in as far as the workforce to put it together. And then all the work and labor and practice and training that's gone in to really for the young people to participate in. And we pray now that you'll bless that part of it and, of course, this part here tonight. Thank you for this wonderful character that we can pull out of the scriptures and learn from. And, Lord, I pray you'd help us. We pray if there'd be one or more lost, that you'd save them, reclaim the backslider, revive the Christian, strengthen all of our faith. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you so much for standing with me. I'm not really going to go into the entire story of Moses, but it's a fascinating passage of scripture going back, you know, to where really it all began. And Joseph had his brothers brought in because of a famine in the land, and they settled in the land of Goshen, and they were there for many, many years. It's about approximately 430 years during that time. A population came up, the Hebrew people, about 3 to 3.5 million people is what a lot of people estimate it to have become. And any kind of ethnic population that has not assimilated into the particular culture could pose a problem to any nation. They could rise up, be a great force. So evidently the Pharaohs took it personally. They began to make their lives bitter with hard bondage. And they hired taskmasters, and it became a very, very, very hard time. And during that time, Moses was born into a culture of death. The Pharaoh had already declared that all the male children would be slaughtered. And of course, his mom and dad, seeing that he was a proper child, they found a way for him to escape. They put him in a little basket, and they pitched it with slime, put it in the Nile River, and of course, as it was floating down the river, Pharaoh's daughter saw the little bassinet, made of bulrushes. And, of course, Miriam was called over, and isn't it amazing that God used, really, Moses' mother, Jochebed, really, to nurse him. She got paid for it. Right. And then, of course, he's raised in the Pharaoh's court. We don't know how long, really, that Moses was was taken care of by his natural mother, but evidently the time came when he was too old, and he went into the courts of Pharaoh, and of course he was claimed by them to be a son of Pharaoh's daughter. And I want you to think about that for just a minute. He was a son of Pharaoh's daughter, and the Bible said he came to a point in time in his life when the Bible says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, he denied that title. He rejected that title. He said, I don't want to be identified as the son of Pharaoh's daughter anymore. Now, I want you to think about the implications. Think about everything that could mean when he said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, it meant that he had the possibility to be the heir of the crown of Egypt. As I was doing some study about this, there was a very unique time in Egyptian history where it was like this, where the Pharaoh's daughter's son could take heirship of the kingship there. And so it was a real possibility for that to happen. It was a possibility of being an heir to the crown of Egypt, or at least doubtless he would be connected with some kind of important offices in the state house. And no doubt, just being a son of Pharaoh's daughter, it furnished the opportunity of a life of ease and pleasure and really just anything that he would ever want if he was going to remain a son of Pharaoh's daughter. No doubt that it opened before him the prospect of wealth, For there is no really supposing that really what could have become his if he would have stayed in that position. But the Bible said that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now I want you to think about the impact of that. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He declined to accept everything that it offered. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused it as an offer, as an office. The great refusal was literally a denial that he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, therefore refusing all the honor that was due to this highly respected position. As a son of Pharaoh's daughter, it meant the princely position, the princely position. It meant the possibility of an earthly throne. But his great refusal meant that he identified himself with the people who had become slaves. The Bible said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. His faith renounced the wealth, power, and glory and splendor of all of Egypt. He denied it. He rejected it. He said, I'm not going to be attached to it any at all. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, there's no explicit mention made in the Old Testament of Moses officially, and openly refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but his great refusal of the court and choosing to identify himself with his oppressed countrymen was in fact, listen carefully now, the refusal of the highest Egyptian honors ever. The Bible said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The great refusal was a great step of faith that led to four great decisions that he made in his life that I want to challenge you on tonight. Now I want you to look at verse number 25. The Bible said, remember, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now verse number 25 tells us about the first choice that he made to be able to make that decision. Verse number 25, the Bible says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now you got to think about these words, amen. We're talking about Holy Writ. We're talking about Bible, amen. And the Bible says, choosing rather to suffer affliction. So the first thing is, he made a choice. He chose. He says he chose, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So he made a choice, meaning to pick out. He selected one from the other. He could have continued on in that line of succession to be a prince in the court of Egypt, but he made a choice. And I'm telling you, young people, every single person that has ever given their life to Jesus Christ and spent it for him, it was because they made a choice. You come to a time in life when you just say, I am going to do it all for God. I'm going all the way for God. He made a choice. And I'm telling you, if your life is going to count for Jesus Christ, you are going to have to make a choice. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter because he made a choice, meaning to pick out, to select, to take by way of preference from two or more things offered to make a choice. He made a choice. Amen. And the Bible says he chose to suffer affliction. In other words, he chose repeated pain, either in his body or in his mind, suffering grief and distress of any kind. But the Bible says he chose rather to suffer affliction. Now, can you imagine what he gave up? Everything that the crown could have possibly given him was at his fingertips. But he come to this great decision, this great refusal, and he said, I would rather suffer affliction with the people of God. So he chose to identify with the slaves.
He chose to identify with the poor, the pathetic, the poverty-stricken people. He chose to go with the broken and the beaten and the bruised and the crushed. He chose the despised and the detested ones and the scorned ones. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I'm telling you, young people, listen, this is not, we're not playing patty cake in the sandbox. We are at war. We are at battle. Amen. Because one of these days, it's all going to be over with, and we're going to be with the Lord Jesus. And there are going to be some privileges that we are going to take into His kingdom that makes a difference on the decisions that you make down here. Than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's what Egypt, amen, that's what the world offers, sin for a season. But remember, the season of sin comes to an end. It comes to an end someday. And the Bible says that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction. It means that he chose hardship. He chose hardship over adversity. He chose loneliness. He chose pain. I'm telling you, young people, New Testament Christianity is never going to be a popular thing in this world. It's never going to be. If you're going to be a Bible Christian, you're going to stand out. You're going to have to endure some mocking and some teasing. And if that was nothing, then why do people succumb to it? He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. You see, it would be like the pain of daily discipline to be abiding in Christ, to be in the Word of God on a daily basis, abiding in Christ, the Word of God, prayer, devotion, soul winning, service to God, the discipline. There's just some kind of, there's a strength, a spiritual strength that you gain. When you go into that, disciplines of the Christian life, the Word of God, abiding in Christ, filled with the Spirit, dedication, soul winning, daily, 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 where you just make it a regimen, suffering the affliction with the people of God. I'm talking about the pain of separation from the world unto God and having to say no so many times. Among friends and acquaintances. I'm talking about the pain of disrespect for standing out that will eventually turn into respect if you stay there long enough. Amen. I'm talking about the pain of ridicule for thinking different from the world. I'm talking about the pain of talking different and looking different and acting different and responding different and being different because you are different. Amen. The Bible said that he said, I'm refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter because he made a choice. Amen. Then the second thing that we see about him is in verse number 26. Look at it. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect under the recompense of the reward. So the first thing that he did was he chose. And I hope that if you haven't made that choice today, that you'll choose to give your life completely wholly to God. The Bible says it is your reasonable service, presenting your body as reasonable service. Amen. God wants the presentation of the body. Amen. For His service. It's a choice. And then he says esteem, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Now that word esteeming, it means to put value on something. It means to put value. I remember years ago, I don't preach a lot in Christian schools anymore. But I remember years ago, I would be preaching locally and a pastor would take me to a local Christian school and the pastor or the principal of the school would take me and show me around in the school and we'd step into a classroom and the young people were taught to esteem a position of a preacher. You'd step into the room and what would the kids do? They would stand up. That's exactly right. Have you ever been a parade and seen these war scarred soldiers, American fighting soldiers? And boy, every time the flag comes by, boy, they'll stand up. It's because they esteem it. They put value to it. Well, the Bible said about Moses, he said, esteeming the reproach of Christ. esteeming the reproach of Christ. It was despised. Remember, he was despised and rejected of men. Amen. The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He made a choice, and then he put a value on something. Amen. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Moses esteemed, he put value on the reproach that he was going to receive for the course which he had pursued over the Egyptian treasures he would have inherited. He esteemed. Why? The Bible said, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He couldn't see the reward yet, but he believed that it was going to be in the future. He knew that he was going to see that. Really, it's what both of the young people sang about tonight. Both choirs sang about tonight. You have got to, you sing those songs by faith. Amen. We know that it's happening. Amen. And let's see, in other words, you're going to stay in it because you know that it's going to pay off. Amen. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. They knew that there must be something. He knew that there must be something better on the other side. Now, I want to ask you a question. Let's pause for just a moment and think about this. How did he know this? I mean, remember, as a baby, he was rescued from the water. That's why his name was given to him, Moses. And we don't really know how long he was cared for by his natural mother who had nursed him. It could have been up to 2 years. It could have been maybe up to 8 years, possibly. I don't know if it would have been any more than 8 years, but anywhere between 2 and 8 years, that is all the time that his mother had to be with him. And then once he hit that age, he was turned over to Pharaoh's daughter, and then he was raised up in the courts of Pharaoh. Now, I want you to think about it. How did he come to this great decision? What was it that led him? What was it when the Bible says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? What was it in his life? What was it in his background that led him to that decision? How did he even know? Well, we can't say for certain, but I think it probably goes back to the second chapter of the book of Exodus. I'm not going to turn there, but beginning with verse number 8 and then about to verse number 10, you can read about it. But evidently, Moses' real mother, she probably had anywhere from 2 to 8 years to instill the fundamental truths of God into his little mind. Now, I don't know it for sure, but maybe while she was nursing, maybe while she was caring for him, she was putting in his heart and in his mind, she was speaking to him saying, "Now, Moses, this is who you are. And Moses, this is who your God is. And Moses, this is who your dad is. And Moses, these are your people. And Moses, this is who your God is." And evidently, the only thing that I can see, just trying to connect the dots, that somewhere down the line, I mean, listen, he got a value system established. Amen. The fundamental truths of God, his family, and his own identity, his mother had maybe 2 to maybe 6 years, possibly, to be able to help him establish a value system. And the amazing thing is that it stuck. It stuck with him. It stuck with Moses to the point where he could no longer just go along with the ways of Egypt. The Bible said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It might have been 6 years, but in those 6 years, his value system was established. I mean, his identity was established. His worldview was established. His future was determined. And his purpose would be fulfilled. Amen. I'm asking you, young people, are you getting a value system in these years? Are you getting a value system? Are you connecting? Are you connected to the people of God? Do you have a value system about marriage? Do you have a value system about life? Do you have a value system about money? Do you have a value system about alcoholic beverages? Do you have a value system about church? I'm telling you, listen, it's sad. It's sad when you see the pictures of these millennials sitting at a table with their friends with a bottle of wine and wine glasses. And these kids had, they came to schools just like this school. Did they even get any values locked into their soul? I'm telling you, young people, you got to get these things in your soul. You've got to get them deep. They got to become convictions to you. In those few short years, Jochebed gave him though a value system. I'm telling you, listen, you need to get a value system in regards to your marriage, to marriage, and to money, and to a testimony, and to time, and to parents, and to children, and to church, and to career. I'm telling you, young people, this world is just a passing moment. What we are living for is something that's eternal. If you're going to live for eternity, then you're only going to do it by faith. The Bible says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. Oh, I'm telling you, listen, this world is just passing. It's a passing moment. Oh, listen, do you believe that there is something better that you cannot see that is going to motivate you to hold on to conviction and hold on to truth and hold on to belief and hold on to a value system? Do you believe by faith that there's something out there? Do you believe there's something better than peer recognition and peer popularity and personal treasure of this passing world? The Bible said about Moses, the Bible says he came to that great decision. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses willingly left his high position in the court of Egypt only to identify and suffer for the enslaved. Who in the world thinks like that? Where do people like Moses come from? Where do people like this come from? I mean, everything a person could ever want at his fingertips. And then he looks at it and he says, that's not for me. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Young people, are you getting anything in your Sunday school class? Are you understanding what's happening in the church services? Are you getting these biblical truths deep down in your soul? Are they becoming a conviction to you? Amen. Oh, the Bible said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. How in the world does somebody come to this conclusion, this great, great refusal that happened? Well, he had a value system. You know, the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, it fits really what I'm trying to say here. And the song was written by a woman by the name of Helen Lamell in 1922. It was inspired by the life of a missionary, Lilias Trotter. And it was based off of a poem that she had written entitled Focused, A Story and a Song. Lilias Trotter, originally from London, England, was an anointed artist and who had a potential career path direction that if he chose to take it, really famous art and what we're in this, what you're participating in right now, the fine arts. The fine art critics saw her early work and were even willing to invest in her training because of the huge potential they saw in her as an artist. While she loved art, she also felt a calling from God to reach the lost. And she began engaging in this call while in London by going out into the streets in the late hours of the night by herself to reach and rescue prostitutes off the streets. She also felt a calling to share Jesus with the unreached people groups in Algeria and Northern Africa. And responding to this calling would come at a great cost, as it would require her to lay down her budding career as an artist. As she responded to this call upon her life, no mission agencies would send her there or support her mission, but she wasn't deterred. She decided to still follow the call of God to go to Africa, and she went by herself. She lived among the nationals in the hiddenness of the desert there for 40 years, there in the desert, Trotter knew what it was like to be stripped from every distraction to focus upon the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. She laid down her life for that one purpose. While there, she wrote the poem that later inspired the song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Amen. "Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Amen. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter because he made a choice. Because he saw something that had real, true value. And then I want you to see, number three, the Bible says he forsook. The Bible says by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. In other words, he left it behind. He forsook Egypt. He left Egypt behind. He left it behind. Now look at me, young people. Egypt is a way of thinking. Egypt is a mindset. Egypt is a belief system, all right? Egypt. I've heard all of my life that the world is a type of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. And I asked the Lord, "Lord, would you show me how Egypt is a type of the world?" And what Egypt does, go to the second, third chapter of the book of Exodus and see. What did Egypt do to God's people? It afflicts God's people. Amen. And just like it did then, it's the same way now. It brings affliction upon the people of God. It afflicts homes. It afflicts relationships. It causes affliction within a home structure between husbands and wives and parents and children and siblings and parents. Why? Because it brings affliction. Because the principles of Egypt is a mindset. Amen. I mean, it is really to go after the flesh. It's to take the ease. Amen. And the Bible said that Moses, he forsook. Egypt is a type of the world also in the fact that it bonds. They put them under bondage. Amen. And that's what the world wants to do. It wants to put you in bondage. Amen. It wants to put you in debt bondage. It wants to put you in peer pressure bondage. Amen. It wants to put you in flesh bondage, in sin bondage. Amen. Egypt is, and the Bible said he was willing. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He said, "I've got to leave Egypt behind." Egypt is hedonism. It seeks personal pleasure above everything else. Satisfy my flesh. And it could be money. It could be possessions. It could be prestige. It could be passions. It could be friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, habits. Hang-ups, bitterness, and even business. But listen, if you're going to come to that great refusal like Moses did, you've got to choose. You've got to esteem, and you have to forsake. Brother Angel was mentioning about those days that Brother Taylor and I were really just teenagers running the youth group. And I remember when Brother Randy Taylor surrendered to be a preacher. And then our pastor asked him to be a youth pastor. He started being a youth pastor at 17. And I tell you what, I never saw anybody that took that position so serious in all the world like Evangelist Randy Taylor. Now, he was still in high school. He was attending high school, Garland Christian Academy. And every single day, Randy Taylor wore a sports coat and a tie to class every day. Every day. Because he was a youth pastor, he esteemed. He took it serious. He forsook Egypt. I'm telling you, listen, it's an important thing. You got to come to it. But remember, forsaking Egypt, he did it by faith, seeing him who is invisible. Amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then I want you to notice the fourth decision that he made in this great refusal. Look at it. The Bible says in verse number 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest that as he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So he kept the Passover through faith. Amen. And faith, really, faith is the victory. Faith is what overcomes the world. Amen. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He kept it. It means he exercised it to fulfillment. He performed it. Amen. God gave Moses the instructions, and Moses kept the Passover. Amen. And he taught the people of God about this important event that would become so precious in the life of the Hebrew people. On the 14th day of Abib or Nisan, remember, the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed. It happened when at sunset, when the sun touched the horizon, and you got about a 30-minute time period, and that's when it was supposed to take place. And then the blood was to be applied to the upper and side post of the doorway to keep the firstborn safe from death that was going to come through. And that Passover lamb is a picture of Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Amen. Oh, the Bible says by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Thank God we can have forgiveness of sins and we can have eternal enjoy the blessings of eternal salvation, and they come through Jesus and Jesus alone and through his shed blood. And if you are going to make it to heaven, you're only going to make it to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. Only one way. He chose faith. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Remember, can you remember how completely shut in they were when they came to the Red Sea? The land had shut them in on each side. The mountains were there, and there was no way. The Red Sea was in front of them, and the Egyptian army was hot behind them, and there was only three things they could do. They could turn around and they could pursue their enemies. They could march into the sea, or they could submit without a struggle. And the choice which God gave them was that of trust in him or destruction. Amen. And brother, listen, God made a way like he always will make a way for his people. The Bible said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, I'm thinking about, and I'm sure, listen, the churches that are represented here tonight, you're very familiar with the life of William Borden. You know, as a young man, was raised in an incredibly wealthy family, but gave it up. And, of course, he died at a very young age, did some incredible things while he was at school and in Yale University, and had such a great influence upon his class. I mean, starting prayer meetings, freshmen, all the classes. There were just hundreds of people that really attended and were influenced by him. But according to an often repeated account, following his death, his mother found in his Bible the words "no reserved" and a date, suggesting it had been written shortly after he had renounced his fortune in favor of missions. And then later on, it was said that he had written "no retreat." It was said that his father had supposedly told him that he would never hold a position in the family business. And then finally, shortly before he died in Egypt, he's supposed to have added the phrase "no regrets." You see, there comes a time when everybody that's serious about God, you refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It's a choice. It's because you esteem and because you're willing to forsake. And it's never a popular thing. And then it's all by faith. It's just a simple step of faith. You see, young people, God is building a kingdom of people that believe in him. We walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. Did you hear the young people sing about that precious moment? Listen, it's just by faith. And that's what it was for Moses. And he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now I wonder this evening, how many of you need to get real serious about this thing? And you need to make this great refusal.
because you're going to make a choice, a conscious choice. You're going to esteem, put value on the things of Christ over the world. You're going to forsake, and I promise you, whatever it is you need to forsake, the Holy Ghost of God has already spoken to you about it. You don't even need me to go through a list. The Holy Ghost of God knows exactly what it is. You just have to forsake. And then you have to keep it by faith. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Somewhere back in his life, it must have been his mama, put a value system in him. And all of a sudden the time came when he said, this is as far as I can go. And he refused it. Everything that Egypt had to offer, he said no. And I'm going to take the will of God. Amen. What is it that you need to do tonight? Oh, I know you're in a competition. But listen, this is not in competition. This is us and God right now. All right? We got to just let the Lord move. Let him work in our hearts. I want us to stand together, shall we? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here tonight and you need to be saved, please come. There's not a single person that's going to ridicule you for getting saved tonight. Listen, if they do ridicule you, really it's proper because they need to get saved. Really. Christians don't ridicule anybody. They refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter because he chose, because he esteemed, because he forsook, and because he kept it by faith. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Brother Oliver, pray for me. The Lord has spoken to my heart. I know what it is that the Holy Ghost of God wanted me to receive tonight. I heard it in my heart, my spirit. I heard it. I heard it tonight. Would you pray for me? Lift your hand up real high right now. Let me see your hand. God bless you. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Now, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, won't you just go ahead and humble yourself tonight? Slip to the nearest aisle. Find a place at the front. Let's do business with the Lord about it right now. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose. He esteemed. He forsook. And then he kept it by faith. That's what we have. We live our lives by faith. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He couldn't see it, but he knew there was something in the distant future that he really couldn't see. But it was better than anything that Egypt could offer him. I wonder, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, who tonight would say, Brother Oliver, pray for me. I'm not even a Christian. I'm not even saved. And I need to get born again. God's been speaking to my heart about it for a long time, and I just need to get it settled tonight. Anybody like that, lift your hand up right now. Let me have a prayer for you. Anyone like that?